Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
7:13. We're going to spend an hour talking about the debt, the national debt, and how important it is, not just from a theoretical standpoint, but to everyday Americans. And if you have any questions at any point, the Okrenard Jeweler Talk and Text Line is open at 504-260-1870. Please do not text and drive, and I'll try to work your questions in. At one point, conservatism, I thought, was about less government and leaving people alone and getting out of the way and being fiscally conservative. But at some point, it seems as though we went the other way from that. And now conservatism is become to be about more government and increasing the debt year after year after year. Robert Posen joins us, senior lecturer at MIT Sloan School of Management, former president of Fidelity Investments. We're going to spend an hour on this. Sir, thank you so much for your time. I think it's very important, and I hope we can maybe shed some light on this for the average person that's listening.
Great to be with you.
Tell me, let's start there, because this can be kind of complicated. Why would the average person going to work right now, why should they be concerned about the debt that this country has? How could that eventually come up and bite them in the rear end?
Well, we now have total federal debt of about $36 trillion, and this new tax bill that's passed the House would add at least another $3 trillion. And depending on whether these provisions that have been added that are supposed to expire, if those did not expire, as most of these things don't, then it would be $5.3 trillion. And what's the effect? Basically, the effect is that interest rates have gone up and are continuing to be high, and that will mean higher mortgage rates, higher credit card rates, and that's the way it would affect people in their everyday life.
So when it comes to, percentages, ratios of, what is it, debt to interest rate, or how do we examine all of that, sir? Explain that to me.
Well, we would look at debt to GDP. That's the way we generally look at it.
And where are we now?
We're now at about 120% of GDP. So our debt is more than 100%. So our debt is higher than our GDP every year, and it's going up. And if this tax bill were to pass in its present form, the projection is that it'd be about 200% in 2055.
So what would that mean? Because I guess what I'm trying to ask and trying to understand, I think some people feel as though, well, it's like a revolving credit card where you just keep paying the interest on it and it'll always be there and we'll just keep making the minimum payments and everything will be fine. But I guess the reason I wanted to have you on and ask is about a tipping point where is there a point where the debt gets so high that we can't come back from it?
Yeah, no, and I think most economists would agree that there is a tipping point. We don't know exactly when it would be, but it could be between 2040 and 2050. And the dynamic looks like this. Interest rates go up. That then increases the federal deficit. Right now, interest rate costs are bigger than defense spending, and if rates go up and the deficit go up, it will be even bigger. And as the deficit goes up, then rates, there's more pressure on rates. So that's the vicious circle that you could be in, where rates go up, deficits go up, and as the deficits go up, then it's more and more difficult for the Treasury to raise the debt, and it will have to pay higher interest, and the spiral keeps going up and up and up.
And that would manifest itself to us. I guess what I'm trying to get to, sir, is when it comes to tipping point, what's tipping, and what would that mean?
Tipping point means that when the interest rate on Treasury debt gets high enough as a percentage of GDP, then it will have a big impact on the deficit each year. And when the deficit gets higher, then Treasury will have more difficulty in selling that debt. And then that will produce even higher interest rates, which will then lead to higher deficits. So the tipping point means where you get into this negative spiral where higher interest rates lead to higher deficits, which in turn continue to lead to higher interest rates.
It keeps going. I'm sorry, the end result would be crazy inflation where money's worthless or not?
The end result would be very high interest rates and very high mortgage rates, very high rates on credit cards, very hard rates on loans, and very hard for businesses to finance their operation because the federal government would be occupying so much of the debt space and asking for so much to sell so much debt every month and every year that there'd be very relatively little room for business debt.
And that would manifest itself how in the economy? That would look like what?
Well, what would happen is that businesses would have a much harder time financing themselves. So a lot of them would go bankrupt. A lot of people would have difficulty in meeting their mortgage payments and getting new mortgages. So that will depress the housing market. And then the credit card rates would go very high and people would have difficulty meeting that, and that will lead to more personal bankruptcies. So these are some of the things that could happen as interest rates go up and stay up.
Let me take a break. We come back. Somebody texted in, and sometimes we use terms and we don't realize that perhaps people aren't up to speed on everything. We'll talk about somebody texted in simply, what is GDP? We'll talk about the gross domestic product when we come back. Robert Posen is our guest, senior lecturer at MIT Sloan School of Management, former president of Fidelity Investments. 2001-2002, he was a member of President George W. Bush's Commission to Strengthen Social Security. He also worked during President Bush's then Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney during a time of economic uncertainty after the 2001 U.S. Recession. So I'm just trying to get your bona fides out there. Sir, 721 traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Robert Posen, senior lecturer at MIT Sloan School of Management, former president of Fidelity Investments. Nice enough to give us an hour of his time to explain the importance of getting the national debt under control. This is not about Republican, not about Democrats. They all spend like crazy. It's about the financial security of the country. Professor, you're talking, you're talking earlier about GDP. Explain to people what the gross domestic product is and how that relates to interest rates and the ratios and so forth.
Well, the gross domestic product is the total amount of goods and services that the country produces in any year. And we think of debt as a percentage of gross domestic product because it sort of talks about how much debt could an economy support. And generally, we've always thought over the years that the total debt should be less than 100% of GDP, because then the growth in the GDP would continue to support a modest.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This increase in debt, but we've now come to the point where debt is growing much faster than GDP. And so our ability to support more debt is being diminished.
So I'm looking at a piece you wrote here from MarketWatch. Under Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and continued fiscal restraint under President Bill Clinton, debt fell to about 33% of GDP by the time George W. Bush took office in January of 2001. It's now at what percentage?
Well, it's currently about 120% of GDP.
So that quickly, from 2001, it was 33%. Now it's again?
120%.
And projected to go to?
Well, it's projected to go to over 200% somewhere between 2040 and 2055.
And let's leave the big, beautiful bill out of it for now. Let's just talk about that cycle earlier to which you referred about larger deficits leading to higher interest rates. We are, in a way, in that spiral now, are we not?
Well, we're definitely bordering on it. We're getting there now because if we increase the debt in this new bill by between $3.8 trillion and $5.3 trillion, depending on exactly what's going to happen, that will increase the interest payments that the government has to make on the debt. And as those interest payments get higher and higher, then the budget deficits will get higher each year. And as the budget deficit gets higher, then the Treasury has to go out and sell more and more bonds, and so interest rates get higher. And then that impacts deficits. So that's what I mean by the virulent cycle that could be, the vicious cycle that could be about to occur.
I want to talk about the bond market when we come back. Before we go to the break, though, talk, if you will, about, so a lot of people are texting in about who owns this debt. Who does the United States owe this interest to, this debt to?
Well, the debt is owned a lot by foreigners, about a third by foreigners. Japan owns a lot of the debt, but China owns a lot of the debt, and other countries own a lot of the debt. And that makes our debt particularly perilous, because if these countries stop buying new debt, then interest rates would go even higher. I mean, the basic dynamic is this: when you have to, if you're at the Treasury, and you have to sell more and more debt, then you're going to have to offer higher and higher interest rates to get people to buy that debt. And that's especially true if you're trying to entice foreigners, because right now the U.S. is in quite an adversarial position with China. So it's unclear whether China will continue by buying a lot of debt. And even countries like Japan, UK, and Europe, we're in trade friction with them. So again, the question of who are going to be the buyers across the world is that issue.
I want to talk about the bond market when we come back, and the importance that plays in all of this. We're talking to Robert Posen, senior lecturer at MIT Sloan School of Management, former president of Fidelity Investments. We'll also talk about this big, beautiful bill as it's being portrayed, what it does, and then we'll ask Robert what it should do and what happens if it passes in its current form. It's not pretty. I'm telling you, this is a serious thing, and that's why we wanted to have this gentleman on for an hour, and he's nice enough to give us an hour of his time because he realizes how important it is. 7:30 now, time for WWL First News. 7:44, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Robert Posen, senior lecturer at MIT Sloan School of Management and former president of Fidelity Investments. Back in 1993, I think it was, the debt-to-GDP ratio was 33%. That was as a result of a combined effort of Bush and Reagan and Clinton. Since then, and it's not a Republican, Robert, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, this is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. Since then, the debt has grown, the ratio is at 121%, and if the big, beautiful bill, so-called, passes in its current form, it's projected to be 200% by 2055. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
So let's talk about the importance of the bond market in this, because this can get kind of complicated, and a lot of people that are just going to work trying to pay their bills don't understand. Talk about that, if you will.
Well, think about it this way. If you had to issue $100 million in debt, you would have to pay out an interest rate of, say, 4%. But if you wanted to issue $300 billion in debt, you'd probably have to pay out an interest rate of 6 or 7%. And that's what's happening with the federal government. As the deficits go up, the Treasury has to issue more and more Treasury bonds. And so the pool of buyers is roughly the same. And so they start to demand higher and higher interest rates. And as you get higher and higher interest rates, the deficit goes up. For example, in 2022, the interest costs for the federal government were about $476 billion. But in 2025, that number is going to be about $973 billion. And it's going to go up if this bill passes. So as in the bond market, the more bonds that you have to issue, the harder it is to get buyers, and the more that the buyers are going to demand higher interest rates. So that's the dynamic that we're talking about.
Somebody texted in, and look, I acknowledge all questions. Not everybody knows everything, and they want to know quite simply, why doesn't the United States just say, that's it, we're done, we're not paying anything, let's start over?
Well, if the United States defaulted on its debt, would say it wouldn't pay anything, then it wouldn't be able to issue any debt in the future, and we'd be in deep trouble for that, because there are lots of times in which you're going to run budget deficits. So I think the idea of the U.S. defaulting on its that is really a bad strategy.
So when you look at Mike Johnson, when you look at the leadership, and I'm just saying that because the Republicans have the House and the Senate and the White House, but not a big majority in the Senate, how can they be for this? How can they not be aware of this, Robert? I guess is what confuses me, because if I'm just a dumb guy from an area here called the West Bank, if I can understand how important this is, how can they not and ignore this?
Well, I think they do understand it, but the politics of this are all geared towards spending. For example, we've known for years that Social Security is going to become insolvent around 2033. But we've put in politically unable to do anything about it because no one wants to change or reduce Social Security benefits. They're afraid of the political implications. So I'm sure that an intelligent, smart guy like the speaker understands what's happening. It's just the politics are such that he can't pass provisions that would actually slow down the growth of the debt.
What would those revisions be if there were to be true leadership? And look, this got nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. This has been going on for years and years and years. And if nobody exhibits true leadership, then we do get to that tipping point that we talked about earlier. And I'm just wondering, what would it look like if somebody were to say, you know what, damn the next election, we got to fix this, and this is how we're going to fix it. What would it look like from a policy standpoint, and what would it look like to the average American in terms of the effects they would feel?
Well, probably, you know, if you look at what really drives the deficit, the things that drive the deficit are benefit payments, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Those are the biggest numbers. Now, actually, interest costs are higher in 2025 than Medicare or Medicaid. So that's what was worried. That's what worries people like me, that interest costs are starting to exceed these benefit levels. Interest costs are still, by the way, lower than Social Security costs. So what you would do is you would bring about a slower growth of Social Security benefits. If you look at the benefit schedule, Social Security grows each year and people get more benefits. If we said that people who are high earners were going to get Social Security benefits, but they wouldn't be going up as much every year, that would be something that would be very significant in terms of slowing the deficit. Another thing people have suggested is that we move back the retirement age as people are living longer. So that would be a second thing that people could do to that Congress could do to slow the growth of the deficit. But both of those would involve lower benefit payments to voters, and that's why Congress won't be doing that.
So how do you see this playing out? Because I don't see anybody ever in Congress saying, you know, here's the deal. Here's where we are. This is what needs to be done. And we hear about, you know, pain in exchange for gain. And I don't think Americans would have a problem if there was pain for true gain. But when you talk about pain to fulfill this political strategy or that one, where it's not really dealing with the debt, the key issue itself, how do you see this playing out, Robert?
Well, I think that it's inevitable that the debt will continue to go up. I don't think Congress has the courage to take on Social Security or Medicare, and those are the two biggest items in the budget, other than interest payments. And interest payments on the debt this year will be higher than Medicare payments. So it's already a significant problem. But I think that the deficits will slowly go up. And the best we can hope for is that we won't have too much increase in the deficit. So, for instance, this year, it's inevitable, it seems to me, that we extend the tax cuts that were in 2017, that those will be extended. But there are at least four new tax cuts that have been added. One is no payment, no income tax on tips. Another is no income tax on overtime pay. Third is that car loans, the interest be deductible. And the fourth is that there be no tax on Social Security benefits, which was changed to an increase in the standard deduction for people over 65. So, you know, one thing that's a much more feasible alternative is for Congress just to extend the 2017 tax cuts and not add these four new tax cuts. That would really help a lot.
We only have a minute left here. I don't know if you have kids, grandkids, whatever, but what do you think life is going to be like? Because I don't see anything changing. I think we all agree on that. In the next 10, 15, 20 years for people that are like 20, 30 years old, 20 years from now, what's life going to be like for them economically in the United States?
Well, I think we're going to find that interest payments on the federal debt are going to start to eat up a larger and larger part of our annual budget. As I said, in 2025, interest payments on the federal debt are already higher than Medicare, and they're already higher than defense spending. And that's a really bad situation. And right now, we're going to create more federal debt, which means more interest payments, somewhere between $3 and $5 trillion in more debt here if Congress does what it seems like it's going to go do. And when you create more debt, then you're inevitably going to lead to higher interest payments, as I said, when you're trying to issue more and more debt. So that means that interest payments are going to start to be a much higher part of the budget each year, and that's going to be bad. And I think what's going to happen is around 2033, there's going to be a sort of budget explosion, because that's when, if we do nothing, Social Security is going to become insolvent. And there'll be, if nothing is done, something like a 20 to 25% reduction in Social Security benefits. But I don't think that will happen. Instead, Congress will just appropriate the money each year to cover the shortfall, and therefore our deficit will go up much more.
Thank
so
you.
What's going to happen is the deficit is going to go up, and that the interest payments are going to go up, and it's going to be harder and harder for people to get money for all the other things they want, education, health care, et cetera.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Robert Posen, 2033 is 8 years from now. 755 Traffic Now, WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.